First off, let me say that I have no Burlington King recordings. The Wild Pigs work of mine that you have in mind is fake, and as such, as it is not a Berlin recording. It is called Schimpfluch Commune Berlin, but for different reasons. I saw a movie once where two guys were hanging out at a cemetery near Tempelhof, chatting, with airplanes flying right above their heads. So then I wanted to see how close I can get to the airplanes at Tegel Airport. A trip to Wannsee Beach on a Sunday afternoon with friends and family. From experience, I know that this can fail, that I can get bored and wish to escape. So taking a recorder with me always opens up a perspective into a spontaneous practice. We only went there once, and I was also a little nervous. The signs about asbestos were all over the site. Although the workers assured us it had already been removed, there were some people in those full white overall outfits with masks on. So I felt a somewhat uneasy relationship with this place, that it could affect my health as a long-term side effect of being there. I'm interested in the soundscapes along rivers in general, and this one was close to my first home in Berlin. It flows through the back streets of Wedding and Pankow and changes sonically very much in quite short distances. Meaning there are many different and varied acoustic environments along its length in these districts. I ended up on a kind of trail. On this trail, I found a friendly policeman who was blocking the way. I saw white tents behind him. That was the place where the future president of the United States of America would drink a glass of sparkling water. On this recording also, I again had arrived at the border of public space. Busy Monday morning, full of obligations, but I managed to escape and approach a place with an intimate touch. The recorded sounds reflect that moment, very special. Sounds of work, but distant. Natural forces like wind and water, a squeaking tree very close. Many different scales are present in this soundscape. I had discovered Ari, a solo entertainer who sings old Schlager songs. I connect some of these songs very much with my own childhood. Songs that my friends' mothers sang and hummed while doing housework. I was quite fascinated by the extraordinary resonance of that space, which might have to do with the fact that it is almost entirely round like a bowl. So the sound waves reflect in very unusual ways. While staying there for almost the whole day, it was funny to notice that every time new people came into the space, they would spontaneously start making some kind of improvised music with the room. It seemed as if people would start focusing their attention on a sense of listening the second they entered this space. I loved this dynamic soundscape. I wanted to map its dramaturgy. I thought about a system to record a couple of minutes every full hour in order to capture this composition and to find something beyond its continuity and duration. Some kind of rhythm, echo, vibration of the place. All of a sudden, I heard a strange noise from behind me and above me. It was a sound as if there was a huge sail from a boat, flapping in the wind, ripped and torn, and as if it was coming down on me. I turned my head, but it was gone and there was nothing to see. I was thrilled and puzzled. Software, the end product. Fascinated and touched by Harry and his very unmotivated way of singing these songs. Most of the people at Jack Trevor Park didn't really appreciate his concerts. They just walked by, chatted loudly at the cafe, and barely applauded after the songs. But my daughter and I stopped every time we saw him and listened to his concerts. One day I just started recording him. Unfortunately, Harry's contract with the cafe didn't get renewed in 2012. My second surprise was that the choir was practicing and there were interruptions by the director and the dialogue between him and the singers. It was interesting for me because I think that the rehearsing process is very important in the creation of a work of art. Beyond the formal final presentation. The idea was to recreate a similar way to the one we had followed in Rio. The file exists together with our voices. I'm counting a series of three, and Boris describes our way in Rio. You can have that if you want. This project inspired me to dig up my earliest recording from Berlin. A cassette I made in 97 on my first visit here. This is from the Humboldt University Student Union building, where I was waiting for Henriette to use the computer lab. I wandered around listening, and finally, in boredom, started making more and more sounds myself. Field number 2 was recorded at the Neues Museum while I was listening to an audio guide. Here we have a multiple situation about the production and documentation of sound and information. I found it interesting to listen to the description of something you cannot actually see. How did you do this recording? This is a field recording in Kerner Park, also featuring a playback of found Australian native animal recordings, played on a portable speaker close to the microphone. I thought this idea would suit the park's flamboyant features. I like that the ghost of the old structure is still present in the image on Google Maps, which is associated with the location of this recording in Radio Apore. I do also love the roll sound of the demolition tools, like a sort of swan song of the building. A poetic oral document of the changing face and constantly evolving history of the Berlin urban landscape. The recording was of a highly conceptual character. I sat on the very spot where once mass manifestations had taken place. I faced the site of a governmental palace of a country that didn't exist anymore. I was recording ghosts. I was there to record a Bruce Naumann installation inside Hamburger Bahnhof. But I had to park my car, so I started recording on the way. The gallery show was an installation with water, or colored water, and pipes and small glass containers and pumps. Somehow it was connected to blood and angels, but I cannot remember. It represents me as a collector of material. As I normally work with sounds of others, and especially sounds of art. Later, I learned that it was the sound of the so-called wake vortex breaking off. The wake vortex or wake turbulence are kind of a pair of horizontal tornadoes following an earthquake. It's an extraordinary acoustic phenomenon. It just had to be recorded. When I met Magdi in 2008, he had never left the city of Cairo so far. I had brought Berlin recordings with me and I was curious how he would imagine the space just by listening to it. She wanted to work in the zoo and the basic idea was to build up a dialogue between her gestures there and mine. Recording the birds in relation with the outside public space was my way of being inside and outside at the same time. That is what I was hoping to find this morning. At best, the sounds I find and the recordings I make are like a response of the world to some of my questions. Here, field recording is when it works, a way to establish a resonant relationship between me and the environment. After the first couple of recordings, I was distracted. The recordings got less systematic, they varied in timeliness, accuracy and duration. It became just a loose sound collection of market date, recorded from the balcony, revealing as much about public space outside as about my way inside. Why was it necessary to make this recording? To see how it would sound. What does it represent to you? A field recording with playback. How does it represent you as its author? The second recording is of Barack Obama holding his speech at the Ziegersäule in the year 2008. Unaware of who or what organization had set up this event, I had claimed Barack Obama's performance as an appearance at my Kleinefeld Recordings Festival. Of course, I needed to go there and document his concert. It turned out to be a very disappointing experience. In that sense, it is like an echo from a vanishing or already vanished technology. the Palast de la République serving as a political technological system, and also memory, the performance of history, and the constant burning question about whether to rebuild what was there or memorialize what is left behind.
I can see a crowded street, and it's raining, and there is a lot of transportation cars and buses, and there is a conversation between two or four people, and there's a fast steps on the street side. But the guy is still talking under the rain. If it's raining hell, everybody stay to his home, you know. Nobody can talk under the rain, or, you know, having fun under the rain. You know, people didn't like to be wet anymore. But here there is some people talking and having fun under the rain, and there is sounds of laughing and smiles. They enjoy the feeling of being under the rain, and it's not hard rain, it's nice rain. I can see that.
Movement 4. Sally and Alim in a cafe. During the previous rehearsals, he avoided talking about the movie they were working on. Only once, the day before the first performance, Sally had asked to know more about it, and he had put her off for later. So they meet, weak rays of sunlight, late afternoon, freezing with sunglasses on. These are not pure field recordings, if such things exist, in the sense that we didn't capture the ambience of the dome while trying to reduce our interference with that space as much as possible. Which is possibly what most field recordings do, in the utopia of some kind of true documentarism. On the contrary, we had tried to activate the peculiar sound character of the dome by injecting rather simple sounds into it. Explosions of small firecrackers and sounds of acoustic clickers. They represent the power of the one who fires them. Might it be the political virility of a system that pays for a show, or the power of the individual? Furthermore, the pure sounds of fireworks remind me of the distracting shape of power from above, in warlike scenes. Their explosions, like the bombs and sirens from Stuttgart airplanes. I find it interesting that technology can produce something that resembles the sound of nature if it does not work properly. This hauntingly strange sound was produced by an escalator at Hansa Platz and recorded in 1995. I've played around with it a lot. Slowed down, the sound reminds me of the sounds of a humpback whales.
think that that's it.
I always just think through headphones when recording. With the volume high up, the sound I hear at the border of the world I look into. I restrict myself to being there. I observe, arrive at the heart of calmness. And I know that the recording will become the carrier of my memory. So, when dark clouds arose, a thunderstorm approached. It went threatening there at the lake. The water was moving, but yet there was no wind. And this reminded me of Edgar Allan Poe's short story, C.O.P. She told me that she was writing her master's thesis about sound in the work of Bruce Naumann, and that she just arrived from the States to visit the exhibition. I forgot her name, and she also didn't write an email as promised. So we are not in contact, but the recording of our conversation comes just a few moments after this fine recording. It is not unusual to hear the wake vortex, but it is rarely as articulate and continuous as it was this time. So it took someone with enough time and patience to record it. The recording itself was an early one made in Germany after some years in the desert and tropics of Central and Northern Australia, after leaving my home city of Sydney many years before. The spaciousness and relative quiet of Berlin at that time lent itself well to my inclinations.
Am Ende dieser Passage befindet sich zu unserer Linken ein großes Anwesen.
I couldn't understand what they were talking about. As I can't speak German, so I was enjoying the dialogues and the choral music at the same level of a sonic mass. Pure pleasure. I'm not religious actually, I'm an atheist. But I thanked God for giving me this experience. This is my approach to automatic speaking and production of speak views, procedure to create open and poetic texts. 9 persons, including myself, did a speaking tour on the area of the former airport, and in the end of the tour they left the public space and entered one of the hangars, which is only half public, and they also changed their way of speaking. Having spent a few hours next to the airport, I was happy to leave. I remember how I thought that these low frequencies, this ever-present drone and rumble, was how I would imagine the soundscape of hell. But there is no wind throughout the heaven. And by the shores of the river Zaire, there is neither quiet nor silence. If anything, I felt that the workers and the building composed the world together. And I happened to be there as an observer and witness to capture a moment during the process. With a John Cage idea that the act of focusing and listening creates the music. Through paying attention to the sound around you and therefore finding patterns and relationships within it. Staying at the periphery, only catching the drones and ghostly shouts of weakened people from afar, with little clicks and pops of wind, moving snow and ice around, in a very cold Berlin winter night, solitude and not taking part. But also attracted by the spectacle of the distant Christmas funfair. My position is an in-between one, ambiguous. Making this recording marked that position, but also it transformed the place and the situation. I was able to establish a satisfying relationship to that place and time without getting sucked into the crowd. Dear Gilles, yes, I'm still living in Madeira. Things are slow and sunny here. Life is good. I've been learning Portuguese and working part-time on an organic farm. And I'm not doing many concerts these days. We just moved house and now I have my own garden. So my routine is quite different here. Unfortunately, I didn't make any field recordings over the 3.5 years I've spent in Berlin. So I can't help you. All the best for the project. Mm-hmm.